So this verse sounds like a contradiction in terms, doesn't it? God's jealousy. I mean, if I speak of jealousy and if it comes from the pulpit, you instantly expect that this is a sin. It'll appear in one of Paul's great long lists, won't it? And so it does. Look at that list, if you remember it, in Galatians 5, the list of the works of the flesh. And there in the middle you'll find the word jealousy, exactly the same word as we've got now. We think of it as a vice. Now, how can it be both vice and virtue? Now, let me try and answer it, but let me just step back a bit before I do so. You see, we need to understand that when the Bible describes God, it does so with what, if you like big words, is called anthropomorphisms. That is to say, don't worry, I had to look it up too, descriptions of God are in the language that's drawn from the life of man. It's the most accurate language we've got. You see, we are more like God than any other creature. We were made in God's image. So it's the best pictures we can have of God come from pictures that are drawn from our own lives. The trouble with it is that we can easily get the wrong end of the stick. Because there are things that, oh yes, fit our life, but we've twisted them. And jealousy is one of these. You see, God's jealousy isn't as it is almost all the time with us, that compound of frustration and envy and strife. Now, God's jealousy is a praiseworthy zeal to preserve something precious. Let me try and contrast them for you so that you understand this is virtue, not vice. There is a vice that's jealousy, isn't there? Most human jealousy seeks to diminish and to consume whatever it's after and jealous about. I want what you've got. And I hate you because you've got it. That's what's at the root of my jealousy most of the time, isn't it? Whatever it is you've got, it may be money, it may be a position that I think I would like, it may be a person. You've got the boy, the girl that I wanted. There's something childish, there's something mean and malicious about it. There is something quite lethal. The writer to the Proverbs put it like this. It's a fascinating little verse to tell you how lethal jealousy is. Wrath, anger is cruel, anger is overwhelming. But who can stand before jealousy? Oh yes, there's a vice that's jealousy. But divine jealousy, the jealousy of this verse, is a virtue. It's a form of holy outrage, mingled with love. Now let me try and explain it. I'm quoting from this excellent little commentary on 2 Corinthians 10 to 13 by Don Carson. I don't know if we've got any on the bookstall, but I'm sure they'll order it for you if you'd like to book one up. Here's how he describes divine jealousy. The objects of the jealousy owe their love and allegiance to God, solemnly pledge him their filial devotion and covenantal obedience, receive all they have of strength and health and possessions and reason from his gracious hand, and then proudly strut their self-proclaimed independence before his face. Worse, they sell themselves to false lords, masters who take everything and give nothing. God is rightly outraged. He would be less than holy were this not his response. Yet at the same time, he loves his wayward people and grieves over their self-inflicted prostitution and hurt. Now, can't you see a right jealousy? Come back to the passage we did have read. Keep a finger in 2 Corinthians. We're back to Deuteronomy 6, 1:6-1, first half of the Bibles. And you'll see exactly this. You see, God is speaking to his people here. He's speaking to his people with whom he has a relationship. to whom he's promised many, many things. Look, verse 10, when the Lord your God brings you into the land which he swore to your fathers to give you, with great and goodly cities which you did not build, and houses full of all good things which you did not fill, and cisterns hewn out which you did not hew, and vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant. You see the picture? Here's a God with his people. He's in relationship. He's done amazing, wonderful things for them. He says, listen, when you eat and take your fill, take heed lest you forget the Lord who's done all of this out of all of this for you. You must fear him and serve him. You must keep your side of the relationship. Verse 14, you don't go after other gods. For the Lord your God in the midst of you is a jealous God. Isn't that an understandable and a proper jealousy? That a God who has an agreement with a people like this and who's kept his side of the agreement to such an extraordinary extent should be jealous? If people rat on it? Think of the marriage picture. It's a common picture through the Bible of God and his people being as if they're married. And the Bible often uses the image when God's people go out after other gods of them committing spiritual adultery. Isn't there a proper place for jealousy in a marriage? Oh no, I know we've tainted it and twisted it and we can make it incredibly selfish and some people are so jealous that they won't even let their partner talk to anyone else. But there is a proper place, isn't there? The Times did a series earlier this autumn on what different women thought about marriage and sex and everything else connected with that. Here's what one person had to say. One of my weaknesses is that I'm not totally jealous. If my husband wanted to go off and be naughty, as long as it didn't embarrass or hurt me or anything else, I didn't ask. I believe that if the man, whether he's your husband or your lover, goes, then there's something wrong with you. And you're not surprised as you go further down to see that she describes herself like this, I'm about to be divorced for the third time. Isn't she absolutely right? It is one of her weaknesses that she's totally not jealous. It's an appalling weakness. Actually, in that context, there's a virtue in being jealous. If the relationship means anything to her, she ought to be jealous. Now, when we read of God's jealousy, you can take out all the selfish bits that come in our human jealousy, and you can see, can't you, something of this pure jealousy? Marriage is meant to be exclusive. That's the essence of it. God has formed that relationship with his people. Well, of course he's jealous if they want to stray from it. The jealousy of God. Revelation, not imagination. Virtue, not vice. And lastly, and probably most lengthily, here's a truth that's practical, not just theory. I do want us to see that when we look at God, you see, so many people are frightened of doing this, aren't they? We hate to look at God and see what kind of God it is, because we're afraid that that's all going to be irrelevant. Please bring it down to me and my earth and my world and my life. My friends, I want to say, if we've got our picture of God right, it does impinge on us at every point. Nothing can be more practical. Nothing can be more relevant than to see what kind of God we have. And if he's a jealous God, why, that has all sorts of practical implications. Think of our relationship with him. You see, Ever since I started getting down to work preparing for this, I've been having going through my mind this thought. Hugh, what's it like living with a God who's a jealous God? I can't say that I've thought in those terms too often before. And through this week in particular, I've been trying to come to terms with it. I think I've reached the stage where I can say, thank you. Thank God you're jealous. I'm not sure I'm comfortable with it. Not sure I'm intended to be, but I'm certainly grateful. You see, the fact that I have a God who's a jealous God tells me he cares, doesn't it? God is not some impassive, ultimate being. Or as someone told me this morning, I believe in a force within me. No, he's a God who can be jealous. That's far more personal. Listen, forgive the language, but it was written hundreds of years ago. Someone wrote this, those souls are jealous which burn ardently for those they love. And jealousy can in no other way be begotten than out of a vehement affection. You see what that says? If my God is jealous, he cares. I wouldn't want to be married to that woman we just quoted from. I'm not. What's more, I know perfectly well how Claire would react if I went off and was naughty. What a pathetic way of describing it. I've not been promiscuous, but if I've let things drift, Claire has flashed. And I'm grateful. She cares. Our relationship matters to her, and she's not going to let me just let it sort of drift onto the rocks one way or another. Now, God is jealous with a pure jealousy. He's not an impersonal force. It's not as if I'm one of so many millions that no one will notice or mind if I drift into or out of this relationship. He's jealous. See, whatever I think of my relationship, God is passionate about his relationship with me. Isn't that an encouraging thought? Doesn't that make you want to say thank you to God? I've got that kind of a loving God. I remember one woman struggling with life in all kinds of ways who'd come to Christ and found the going just as tough. And she tried to turn away and run away. And she said to me once, she said, Hugh, you never told me how hard it was to turn my back on Christ. Now, I hadn't warned her about that. She was just beginning to see some of the effects of being united with a jealous God. He won't let us go easily. See, he's passionate about his relationship with you. Isn't that a reassurance? Don't you want to say thank you? Tells me he cares. It keeps me on my toes. You see, if that's my God, then doesn't my holiness matter? Doesn't my relationship to him matter? Isn't this an incentive to be 100%? He is a jealous God. Oh, I'm guilty of the casual sins. I'm guilty of the drifting. You know, like most of you, I know how to keep up the Christian veneer. It's not too hard, is it? Tuesdays for Read, Mark, Learn, Sunday night for Sunday at 7. You know, we can manage those bits. But I have a jealous God. If he gets the fag end of my time, he'll be jealous. He's not a soft, cuddly, cozy granddad. He's a jealous God. Keep saying that to yourself this week. It's kept me on my toes. Yes, I'm not comfortable. But I want to say thank you, God. You're a jealous God. It's a very practical truth, isn't it? It affects my relationship with him. And again, it affects my ministry. Here's the immediate context of our verse in Corinthians. You see, if this is my God, it'll affect how I serve him and others. Paul is saying in verse 2 that in his attitude there is something of God's jealousy, that he loves a little bit like God does. Oh, he's about to tell them something of his exploits. One commentator put it this way: Paul is very conscious that it's no business of an apostle, or indeed of any Christian, to praise himself. Such self-commendation is only justified, in the present instance, because his affection for his converts is so great that he'll go to almost any length to prevent them becoming dupes of unscrupulous men and to keep them loyal to Christ. Do you see? There's God's jealousy. I've got this kind of jealous love for you, he's saying, that I'll go to almost any lengths to keep you loyal to Christ. I want you to see that that's what it is. It is not jealousy for himself. Look closely at verse 2, will you? I feel a divine jealousy for you, he says. Why? For I betrothed you to Christ. No, he didn't betroth these Corinthian Christians to himself. You are my disciples, and I'm now jealous that you're slipping away from me. There they were. He betrothed them to Christ, and his jealousy is that they're slipping out of their relationship to Christ. I betrothed you to Christ to present you as a pure bride to her one husband. See, the picture is Paul is, I suppose, if you like, the father of the bride, isn't he? And he's engaged these people to Christ. And the wedding day will be when Christ comes again. And he's looking forward to marching down the aisle with them and giving them away. And he longs that they're pure when he does so. Now, he's jealousy for his bride's purity. He's jealousy for the Christ to whom they'll be married. It's not the going away from Paul that worries him, it's the going away from Christ. We're not to be jealous if people go away from St. Helens or from our Read, Mark, Learn group or fellowship group or whatever empire we're building up, but we are to be jealous if they're going away from the gospel. Now, I take it there is nothing peculiar about this jealousy to Paul being an apostle. I can't see what it's got to do with him being an apostle. He's saying he's reflecting God's jealousy. I take it we're to reflect God's character as best we can too. I betrothed you to Christ, he said. Well, that's because he was the one who converted them. By the way, if you long to see your friends become Christians, I hope you've got this kind of grand vision for them. You're not only out to make converts, he wants people, why, who can be presented pure at that great day. He's looking way ahead. Yes, behind Paul's jealousy lies God's jealousy. Now, when it comes to ministry, you see, I want to say that that is what is so disappointing for me about the synod vote this week. About their balking at taking action on things. They're happy to say things are wrong, but they won't act against them. When synod is told that they must reflect God's love, they never mean this when they say that, do they? They never mean we must reflect his jealous love as well as his compassionate, gracious love. My sense of shame and anger isn't at some minority group. It's not at the fornicators, the adulterers, the homosexuals. It's at the leaders who won't reflect God's jealous love. It's to think that there are church leaders who don't have the passionate love for his people, that they'll act against unrepentant sinners who are leading the flock. I can't look to them to guard the relationship and keep us on our toes. There's no sign of that jealous God. And yet, you see, if God is a jealous God, then tolerance cannot be the supreme virtue. There are limits to it. Now, don't misunderstand me. I don't want witch hunts, though I don't think that that's the besetting sin of our bishops. And I don't want intolerance to be the supreme virtue. We can easily jump to the other end of the spectrum, can't we? But I do long, as I've been thinking about this verse in particular, that this jealousy is reflected in our ministry to one another. You don't have to be in synod. You don't even have to be the formal leader of other Christians in one group or another. You just have to have a Christian concern for a fellow Christian. Will you, to your compassion and gracious practical love, add this jealousy? Not to keep someone bound to you. God forbid that. But a jealousy that means we're very, very anxious to keep one another bound truly to Christ. It means I don't actually have to wait for the disaster to strike before I'll act. I see the unhelpful friendship and I could warn in the early days. I see someone showing all the signs of putting all their energies into the career and materialism and everything else, and I could fire a shot across the bows early on. Well, we hate doing it because it's not at the black and white stage yet, and yet, if we had more of this jealous love, don't you think we'd be at least lovingly suggesting, watch out? Don't be slow to sound alarm bells when you see unwise actions. I can remember when I went out with a non-Christian girl, and the person who'd led me to Christ got hold of it. I tried to keep it as quiet as I could, because I knew I wasn't meant to do it. And unfortunately, Christian grapevines have very long tentacles. And the guy who led me to the Lord heard about it, and he wrote me a letter. And he said, Hugh, if there's anything I can do, you want to chat it over, do just give us a ring. Well, fortunately, by that stage, I'd, slightly disastrously, the whole thing had ended and everything else. I was annoyed when I got that letter in one sense. I was frightened. I clammed up. I said, it's all right, the whole thing's finished, you needn't worry anymore. And I was very grateful for such a friend. Very grateful that he bothered. Very grateful that even though it didn't actually matter at that stage, and it had been resolved, he still cared enough to poke his nose into my business. And I take it was from the best of motives. He was jealous for my walk with the Lord. Well, have we got that jealous love for one another? Is there any of the divine jealousy about our relationships? Or do we just not mind too much as long as we stay on the straight and narrow? Or again, you see, I hope you're realizing how practical this truth is about a jealous God. Again in my ministry, maybe this time being on the receiving end, I hope we don't object if people are finicky to us about what we say about Jesus and our doctrine and the gospel. In the Old Testament context, wherever I've looked at the verses, and it speaks of a jealous God, it's in the context of people following idols. Look here at what the context is in which Paul is speaking. Verse 2, I feel a divine jealousy for you. Why? Verse 4. For if someone comes and preaches another Jesus than the one we preached, or if you receive a different spirit from the one you received, or if you accept a different gospel from the one you accepted, you submit to it readily enough. Now, of course, you're not going off at some shrine to worship an idol, but listen to this. What about another Jesus? What about another gospel? What about another spirit? You see, even the language is still the same, isn't it? My word, I might fall for that. and someone pulls me up because I said this, and did I really mean it, and didn't I know that actually the truth is that? And I feel, aren't they nitpickers? Well, there can be that spirit, can't there? But I take it there can also be the love that values my relationship with God so much, it's going to keep on checking to make sure I don't wander from the truth. When people want to be tight on our doctrine, and I feel annoyed and grumpy, is it that I don't want to be loved with the jealous love of God? A jealous God. That's revelation, not imagination. That's a virtue, not a vice. That is something that is very practical, isn't it, for the way we relate to Him and the way we serve Him and others. Take it home this week. I feel a divine jealousy for you. Let's pray. Our Sovereign Lord, we thank You that in Your mercy You did reveal Yourself to us. We pray You'd keep us humble to sit under Your revelation. And we ask that You might give us understanding and grace, that we can be those who thank You that You're a jealous God, that You care that much. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.